We present Condition Purple by Peter Turnbull, adapted for radio by Stephen Mulrine. As the search for Dino and for Jimmy the rodent Purdue continues, another murder has been reported. Ray Sasek has been sent to investigate. Condition Purple.
Can I help you, sir?
Looking for business.
Something special. You got a light, pal?
Looking for trade, sir.
Looking for business, sir.
Something special. Can I help you?
It's as if somebody's thrown her to the wolves. She's been worse than murdered.
There has to be more than one assailant, Sarge. Surely.
No, it hasn't. This is the work of one man. I've been this way before.
He's a state hospital number, then.
Certainly is. And if we'd been able to prove it 12 years ago, this lassie would still be alive.
That's the police sergeant, all right, sir.
Sign, escort him upstairs, please. Advise him the stairs slippery.
Right, sir.
I noticed a few syringes lying around in the other room, sir.
The building's probably alive with AIDS. You better be careful touching anything sharp. Dr. Reynolds will keep us right, but you can show him round if you're up to it. You've done a good job here, Hanning.
Thanks, sir.
Sergeant Sussex.
Hello. I came as quickly as... Good God in heaven. What a mess. Is this a gang?
Just one, sir.
Oh. You have a suspect.
Pretty certain.
And you have an identity for the victim, I'm told.
Yes, Tony Durham.
Well, I can't do anything here. I'll have the body removed to the mortuary. I'll take a few maggots as well.
Maggots?
Yes. You'll help me establish the time of death.
Are you all right, Helen?
Yes. I'm fine, Sarge.
Why? I remember that one. Can you forget a job like that?
When did you do this?
Let's see. It's July. It was the winter. It was when there was snow and ice. February.
About 6 months ago.
Aye.
And did she come alone?
Aye. Had to do it on the floor, you know. She had to lie down. It was pretty cold and all, but she stuck it out. She said she wanted I belong to Dino, tattooed right here. And that's what she got. What a looking lassie she was. I says to her, when do you want it done? Right now, says she. I'll need the clothes off, and I says, the bottom half anyway. So she steps out to change as cool as you like. I put an old coat down on the floor. And best I could do. She was shivering a bit and let out a wee cry now and again. Tattooing can be sore. And I mean, well, she was underdone. It had to be pretty painful.
I'm sure it would be. How long did it take?
The best part of 2 hours.
Now, just out of interest, what did you charge her?
Well, that's the funny thing. When I finished it, I told her it'd be £50.
50?
Aye. And then she tells me she doesn't hate me. That's what she says. I was ready to give her a good doom, but she says she could pay me in kind. That was how she put it. And she was a bonny girl, so... Anyway, she was to come round one night a week for the next 3 weeks. And out of time, that seems okay. She pulls her jeans on and goes.
And that was the last you saw of her?
No, that's the thing. I thought it'd been that, but the next night she's back at my door, as good as I loved. And she came back twice after that. I tell you, I didn't get to know her, but she was a real nice girl. No matter what she was into, a lady, you know what I mean?
Did she say who Dino was?
Never mentioned him. Just spelled out his name so I could get it right.
She didn't say why she was Dino was?
No, she did not. Never talked about herself at all. A nice, polite lassie. Asked about my business and that, but that was it. She's a funny sort of lost look. Sad eyes, you know what I mean? I don't know who this Dino is, but that was one lonely lassie, Jim. A very lonely lassie.
You never get used to this, do you?
Well,
I suppose when you get used to it, that's the time to give up. Start breeding sheepdogs.
I suppose so.
Right, cause of death, or you name it, major trauma, multiple lacerations, massive if not total loss of blood. It was a frenzied attack, 70 to 80 stab wounds, I'd say, at a conservative estimate.
Conservative?
Nearer 100.
Time of death, sir?
10 days ago, possibly. Bearing in mind the room she was found in. What about next of kin? Are you going to ask them to identify the body?
I really haven't thought that far ahead. They may want to view the body. They have the right.
Yes, I'm aware of that. Oh, I could tidy her face up. I can make her clean, but I can't hide the damage. If you want my honest opinion, Sergeant, I think dental records or fingerprints would be more appropriate.
I think you're right, sir. I think you're right.
Want you to see me, sir?
Tom Montgomery, come in, yes. I want you to track down your informant. We're anxious to find the whereabouts of a felon, Jimmy Perdue. Jimmy the rodent.
The name rings a bell. Can't place him, though.
Well, he's part of the city's folklore. Tuesday noon will certainly know of him. Hopefully, where to find him. Don't approach him, incidentally. And have a look at the file on Tony Durham, just in case you feel inclined to make the caller on your own. You haven't seen King, by the way.
I think he's interviewing another tattooist, sir. We're sure about this Perdue. He's our man.
We are now. The room Tony Durham was murdered in is covered in Perdue's latents. One of his prints is on the wall in Tony Durham's blood, and it's so deeply imprinted that he must have been there while the blood was still fresh. He was there during the assault, which is the point forensic are making.
So, all we need to do is find them.
Just be methodical, Montgomery. The city is full of rat holes, and he will be in one of them. We have a set of keys and an address for Tony Durham. That ought to be Sussex's first stop after the post-mortem. The address came off a Building Society passbook, incidentally. The late Antonia Durham was a very wealthy young woman.
Dead.
Sir?
This house. It's dead. It's like something out of the Ideal Homes exhibition.
I'd like to know where she got the money for all this stuff. Just look at this CD collection.
Well, she had enough stashed away for 3 or 4 places like this. No use to her now. Well, this might help us. An answering machine.
Right, Sarge. I'll take some notes, will I?
Aye, please.
Hello, Miss Durham. Winton Garage here. Just to let you know, your car's fixed. You can collect at any time before 5:30.
Yeah, Gary at the travel agency, Miss Durham. We've got the details you wanted for Canada. And the side trip you asked about for the States. You don't need a visa now. If you'd like to ring me back, okay? Right, that's me. Bye.
Oh, aye.
That's him. I'd no Perdue's voice anyway.
I see we've got a wee problem with that Craigellachie bird. The one you said was okay. She's talking. And she's lifted a ton of smack. We need to sort it out. So you meet me tonight, Minerva Street, 11 o'clock. Corner of Argyle Street and Minerva Street, okay? Just.
I suppose she was found, Sarge. And that dates these messages possibly 10 days ago.
I left a message for you 2 days ago. Just to remind you to collect your car. It's all fixed.
Hi, Tony. It's Sonia from the parlour. Just wanted to say you fancied a wee drink and a blether. Give me a call. Bye.
Tony, it's Stephanie. Tony, that guy with the Mercedes.
Get this down.
He pulled me off the street and gave me a doon. I need to see you. The guy's mad or sick or something. I need to talk to you, Tony. Please. It's urgent.
Oh, no wonder she was scared.
The garage again, Miss Durham. I'm sorry, but if you don't collect your car by tomorrow 5 o'clock, we're going to have to leave it in the street. We haven't got the room.
Hello, this is Gary at the travel agent. Can you give me a call soon? We have all the details about your Canada trip.
Tony, it's Stephanie. Listen, I'm scared. That guy Perdue's looking for me. I can't go on the street. Even if the other girls keep the edge for me, they've got work to do. They can't keep a lookout all the time. You've got to help me, Tony. They're saying Perdue's after me because I have inched his smack. You didn't tell me it was his. He thinks I've been shooting my mouth off about your basement, Tony. I never said a word to anybody. You've really stitched me up, you cow. Just tell Butch it wasn't me stole his smack. For God's sake, Tony, I need to talk to you, please. I'm getting strung out. I need to score right now. I need another fix, and I can't go in the street. He's waiting for me. He's going to kill me because of you, and I've never died. It's all your fault, you bloody bitch. You've got to help me, Tony. Please, contact me.
Hi, it's Gary at the travel shop, Miss Durham.
I think we'll save the rest for the boss. Meanwhile, let's see if we can find Miss Durham's famous basement.
You're not pulling your weight, Tuesday.
I need time, Mr. Montgomery. I mean, rumours need time to spread.
Yeah, I know. In the meantime, tell me what you know about a man called Perdue.
Jimmy the Rodent. He's been around for years. He's changed his name, though. Calls himself Max something or other. Hasn't changed his nature, though, what I hear. Oh, he's no nice.
Yeah, very few people we're interested in are, Tuesday.
You see, I hadn't heard him for a while. Oh, he's a right wee sewer rat in his day. But he's come up in the world, so I hear. You see, he's a pure swine with drink. Without the drink, he's just a swine. Anyway, I clocked him in a bar a while back and asked this guy, and the guy says, aye, that's Perdue. Only he calls himself Max something these days. Oh, I wish I could remember.
Maybe a wee goldie would refresh your memory.
No. Mind you, I've heard he stays out of town, though. Strath Lane or Finkley or one of these places. Big hoose, calling me Rottweilers.
Rottweilers?
Aye, Rottweilers. They eat Dobermans.
So they say. Well, Tuesday, son, I think you've earned your crust.
Tell you the truth, I'm no that hungry.
It makes you think. Movie moguls beavering away in Culture City and we never knew about it.
Did you watch any of the tapes?
A random sample. Rather, what you'd expect. I'm acted hardcore pornography. They've been handed over to Vice for the duration. Over 1,000 hours of this stuff.
That'll keep them out of mischief. Do you know what strikes me, Ray, about that answering machine tape? Is how empty Tony Durham's life was. Mm-hmm. I mean, even 10 days after she was murdered, nobody seemed too worried about her. Apart from Stephanie. No family. No friends. It's eerie, isn't it? The voices of dead people.
Like spirit messages.
What time's your conference with Donoghue?
Any minute now, I should think.
Et voila.
Linguist.
We've got a warrant out for Perdue, as you'll know, Ray. And Montgomery's called him with a possible whereabouts. Now, you go back a long time with him, of course.
Well, before his murder conviction served me, sir. 12 years. He'd kept out of sight since his release, and I assumed he'd burnt out.
Yes, I know. I believe the official term is matured when a psychopath stops.
Anyway, I was obviously wrong. Seems he just submerged himself in Glasgow's other film industry. You know, I heard a story about Perdue when he was wee, about 10 or 11. He had his older sister on the ground with a blade at her throat and pawing her with his free hand. His sister was terrified, absolutely rigid, and his mother quite literally had to knock him out with a length of timber before he'd let go. They took him unconscious to the vicky, told the staff he'd fallen down the stairs. You could say he grew up getting away with murder.
Yes, and it's my understanding he did so, literally.
Yeah, there were plenty of knifings south of the river that were down to him. We knew that. But getting a witness to testify? Impossible.
Be handy if we found whoever disturbed him at Stephanie Krigalahi's murder.
Mm-hmm.
But we have enough on him in forensic. I'd guess Perdue and Tony Durham were business associates. Tilly saw fit to make her a sleeping partner.
Yes. Tony stole heroin from him. Told Perdue Stephanie had nicked it. Maybe she had a motive. Maybe it was pure spite.
Possibly.
Well, Stephanie started talking. She might have put the whole fun factory at risk.
So?
So, Perdue filled in Tony Durham for bringing a nuisance into the firm, then went looking for the nuisance.
Yes. Anyway, there's enough to keep the day shift busy. One more thing, Ray. I don't want to let go of this character, Dino. DC King's put in some valuable hours there. Most likely for nothing, but I still feel that's a stone worth turning over.
Right, sir.
Meanwhile, as a privilege of rank, I think I'll take a drive into the country. See a man about a dog.
I can see what Montgomery's grass meant about the Rottweilers. There's a whole pack of them in there. Locked up, thank God. Where their owner should be.
Well, at least we have a confirmed address now, sir.
And a telephone number.
So, what's on the agenda, sir?
I've been chewing that over. I think we can watch the house until we see Padgett and bring him in. But we'll need numbers when we do move.
Firearms, sir?
Oh, I doubt it, Richard. Not Padgett style. A dozen uniforms should be enough. Take a sledgehammer to crack a nut. Saves unnecessary violence.
I hope it's as easy as that.
Mm. Could be a long wait, though.
Well, maybe if we took the initiative.
Hmm?
Well, somebody has to be feeding the Rottweilers.
No answer, sir.
Well, hang in there. We know the gardener's at home.
Hi, it's DC.
DC?
Yeah, Jimmy said to phone him when I got into town. We've got some business to talk over.
Well, Mr. McCall's not here. He's not due back till the end of the week.
That's Friday, that's tomorrow. Due back from where, did you say?
Germany, I think. Listen, I'm telling you, phoned. What did you say your name was?
Got him.
Elka! Elka!
Yes, Phil? What is it?
Well, you haven't seen Montgomery, have you? It's urgent.
Well, he's just come on duty, I know that. He's probably having a coffee. What's the problem?
One of these Blythewood Square ladies has just phoned. Wouldn't speak to anybody else to begin with.
I can imagine.
Anyway, there's a man asking round the square for Stephanie Craigellachie. They don't know what to tell him, she says. But his name's Dino.
Yes. I was kind of surprised when he decided to sit this one out.
Oh, I'm glad. I have waited a long time, Richard. Too long.
Well, it's your caller, son.
Golf Echo 1 to Golf Echo 2. Thanks. Follow him through, but keep well back. We're ready for him. Over and out. This isn't just Stephanie and Tony Durham. I wasn't much older than you when I first saw Pudge's handiwork. It's not something you forget.
Phil Hamilton's not been the same since he walked into that skipper and found Tony Durham.
He'll get over it, but he won't forget it. That's him. That's him now. Golf Echo 1 to all units. We're moving in. Stay close. Don't let him make a run for it.
James Maxwell Pardew.
What?
I'm arresting
what's
you
going
on suspicion of the murder of Tony Durham.
You have the right to
remain. We have a terrible relationship. Just terrible. We just simply mince about being nice to each other because she can't conceive any other way for married people to behave. You know?
You don't need to tell us this if it's
no, no. It doesn't matter now. It's like playing at dolls' houses for her always has been. I know these things cut both ways, and I suppose it's partly my fault, but we just don't have any level we can communicate on. We're not married. We're just two strangers living in the same house, sharing the same bed.
Where does the name Dino come from? You're not Italian.
No, it's the army days. I was in the Royal Horse Artillery. Madras troop. You don't get any better than that. Anyway, there were three Davids in our troop, and I got Dino, simple as that. And the name stuck. I enjoyed the army. A lot of good blokes. The nickname carries a lot of good memories.
So how did you get to know Stephanie Craigellachie?
I was lonely. It's the worst kind of loneliness. Two people. I mean, you know that phrase, my wife doesn't understand me. What it really means is you can't be yourself, and you'd be better off on your own by yourself. I mean, I dare say it's the same for Teresa. We're both practicing Catholics. We made vows and we intend to keep them. Teresa's very naive.
How do you mean?
Well, I'm a businessman. I installed central heating systems, I tend towards the hard-headed, cynical, you know. In the start, I thought Teresa's openness was a good check and balance for me, but the truth is, she just hasn't a clue about life. I think she was a perfectly behaved child, did everything that was expected of her, and when she reached adolescence, decided she didn't like it and became middle-aged. Waited for everybody else to catch up with her. I mean, she never developed any sort of personality.
So you went up to Blythewood Square?
A lot of men do. The difference between me and most of them is that I wasn't interested in sex. I wasn't. I just went up to communicate with somebody. A realistic woman.
In what way realistic? Because she was a prostitute?
I don't know if you'll understand this, but when Teresa reaches to take my plate when we've finished dinner, she hesitates. It's just a split second before she lifts it off the table. She doesn't want to snatch it. But I wish she'd just grab it. That would make her realistic. Anyway, I went up to the square. Nice girls. I mean, there's a few hard-edged ones, but mostly they're nice kids. They really are.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, eventually I met Stephanie. Do you think I could have a glass of water?
Sure. Cup of tea or coffee?
Sorry to interrupt. Sir. Sergeant Sussex and DC King have made the arrest. Purdue's in the interview room now.
Good.
He hasn't got anybody yet for it.
Sorry?
Whoever killed her.
We're working on it.
I've already told you, Sergeant, my client has nothing to say.
Mr. Gilfillan, we haven't asked him anything.
He has nothing to say.
Who doesn't?
What?
I said, who doesn't? I'm my own man, I'll say what I like.
Well then. It seems I can't be of any further assistance, gentlemen.
Safe journey, Mr. Gilfillan.
Bye-bye, sir.
See these guys? See them.
So, Jimmy, tell us why you did it.
Did what?
There's no point in denying it. Your fingerprints have been found in Tony Durham's blood.
So?
So you killed her.
So?
You're not denying it.
Why deny it if you've got my dad's?
Incidentally, are you going to tell us what you brought back from Hamburg? Or shall we tell you what we found in your suitcase? Doesn't make much odds. Either way, you're looking at 2 life sentences plus at least 15 years for the suitcase.
So, I make a bit of money. Import business.
There's enough heroin in there to keep the half of Glasgow supplied for a year.
Okay, so you've nailed me. Where's that get you?
It gets me where I wanted to go as soon as I saw Stephanie Kirgallagher's body last Tuesday.
Oh, why her? She shot her mouth off once too often.
Yeah, so I became a guardian. Protector, sort of.
Angel.
Yes. Anyway, I'd give her what money I could to get her off the street for a night or two, but she was a heroin addict.
You ever suggest she might get help?
A detox program, oh yes. She needed that evil stuff. From what she told me about her life, in a way, I suppose I was the father she never had.
You've no children, Mr. Bawtry?
No.
Stephanie grew up in foster care. You know that, of course.
Yes. The foster home sounded like hell on earth, frankly. House full of ornaments, little glass animals, cuckoo clocks. Stephanie wasn't part of even that.
I know. I've seen it.
Really? Now, she told me her parents would sit down to roast beef or she got beans on toast, because she was fostered. Did everything in that house. Lavishly furnished. But her room had nothing. Threadbare. Nothing but the cheapest. No heating, even. Then there was the physical abuse. Something went missing and off would come the man's belt. Even at 21, she still had white marks in the backs of her legs.
The verbal abuse can leave worse scars.
Oh, yes. Getting called a slag from the age of 12.
By the time she was 16, Stephanie was convinced she was worthless. Then when somebody offered her a bag of white powder to make her problems go away...
She was using heroin at 16?
Ah, yes. Eventually she worked the street. After a spell of shoplifting, of course. And when she had no money, she'd sit in her miserable bedsit, doubled up with cramps and smelling of vinegar.
Vinegar?
She used to buy a heroin in solution, cut with vinegar. When she called Turkey, the smell of it would come out through her pores.
I noticed that smell in her room. Couldn't make out what it was.
How long did you know her?
About a year. We met during the day, mostly. I bought her meals. She was emaciated. Didn't eat properly.
And what do you know about her tattoo, Mr.?
I never saw it. I didn't want to see it.
But you knew she'd had it done.
I belonged to Dino, yes. It's unbelievable. But she thanked me in the only way she knew. She thought of herself as a body to be used by men. She had such a low opinion of herself. A piece of property to be owned or rented out. That's all she was.
She was expendable, same as Tony Durham. And if it hadn't been for the other women, I'd have carved the Kregelchi bird good, I tell you.
Other women?
The black team, presumably.
Aye, four of them. Coming up the alley after her, one with a butcher's knife. Older dames. Anyway, they saw what I'd done to her. One of them screamed. They all ran. Me as well. See, I was pushed for time. Had to catch a 10 o'clock plane to Hamburg. I did a right good job in Tony Durham, though. A proper job. She was still kicking when most of her blood was outside her. Know what I mean?
I've seen your work.
Anyway, she lifted some horse that didn't belong to her. She had it coming. And she brought that Pugelicky bitch into the operation. She couldn't keep her mouth shut, that one. Dangerous.
You know, Mr. Donahue, you know what really gets me about her? That life of hers, abandoned by her own parents, fostered out to those two, heroin addiction at 16, prostitution, spells in Cornton Vale. None of that. None of that had hardened her. It was as if all that cruelty and pain, humiliation, just couldn't destroy what was basically a good-natured personality. A good person.
She was in my road. Simple as that.
In Condition Purple, the cast was as follows. Detective Sergeant Ray Sussock was played by Ralph Rieff, PC Hamilton by Martin McCarty, Reynolds, Gerard Slevin, Fat Charlie, Stuart Macquarie, Detective Constable Montgomery, Frank Gallagher, Detective Chief Inspector Donahue, Martin Cochran, Perdue, John Yule, Stephanie Kregelichy, Daniela Nardini, Tuesday Noon, Alex McAvoy, WPC Elka Willems, Anne Louise Ross, Dino, Alexander Morton, Detective Constable King, John Buick, and Mr. Gil Fillon by Tom Smith. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The serial was recorded on location in Glasgow and in our Glasgow studios by Tommy Anderson, Graham Taylor, Andrea Cunningham, and Jennifer Forrest. The production assistant was Sheena McCraw. Condition Purple was written by Peter Turnbull, adapted for radio by Stephen Mulrine, and produced by Hamish Wilson.
Hi, pal. You looking for trade?